All right. Well, as you can see, we're set up to do things a little bit differently tonight. We've got our table out here, and I'm going to be bringing out some guests as we continue into our new series that we are calling Ethos. And as we talked about last week, getting into the ethos of a church or a ministry really is about getting into kind of the character. What are some of these core things, you know, about our mission? Not just who we are, but what we do. Now, I talked a little bit last week about this example about a river and a boat. We talked about how when we were over in Europe, we would do these dragon boat races. And that was kind of this picture, as I said, look, that river is this idea of God's will. We want to be paddling in the direction of God's will. And that's our heart for ministry. But I said, hey, the boat, well, that's like the church, right? You know, we get to hop into the boat, but one of the things that we're learning to do in ministry is we're all picking up an oar and we're learning to paddle in the same direction. So my hope is each week, as we describe a little bit about the boat, a little bit about what God's doing in Calvary Chapel Fullerton, that we're going to pick up an oar each week. We're going to look at a particular ministry, the heart of this ministry, some of the people that are involved in it, let you get a chance to see what we get to see all the time is, man, church isn't just like we say about a cool building, but it's some really cool people that make up the body of Christ. So let's do this. I'm going to welcome up Greg and Lauren Bird, who are a big part of our Connect Group ministry, help us lead it, organize, train. So I'm going to bring them on out right now. We're going to get resituated, probably change some camera angles, and we've got mics here for you guys. All right, let's see if we can do a little reset here. Thank you guys for coming out. I know you're juggling little ones and switching from your job hat to run right in here from running a company. This is a treat to get you guys both on a Thursday night. So let me get some of these things out of the way. Sorry, I'm off camera for a minute. So tonight we want to talk a little bit about our Connect groups because these launched right before COVID. And so you guys have been hearing about Connect groups now for a while. Funny thing is that we had started praying about launching Connect groups months before COVID. We felt like, hey, as a church, something that God was putting on our heart is say, look, we love discipleship, always been one of the things that has been a core of our church. But just saying, what are some ways that we can do this and see if we can get the body involved, engaged? And the more we prayed, the more we talked, the more we started feeling like this could be a really exciting thing for our church. So I want to get into what Connect groups are, because some of the people tonight are like, oh, I've been in one. And others are like, well, maybe I'm thinking about it. But I also want people to get to know you guys just a little bit too, because you're a big part of our leadership, our training, and this is something that's near and dear to your guys' heart as well in terms of discipleship. So let's kind of kick this off a little bit. Tell people tonight who haven't had a chance. Okay, we've known each other, well, we're going over 20 years. Right. This is rewinding back to the college group.
We already talked about that.
Sometimes it was just Greg and I at my kitchen table with my...
This is very familiar.
Yeah, I would love to say we started off with this massive ministry, but sometimes it was Greg and me at the kitchen table. So Greg and Lauren met in the college group.
Yes, we did.
But this has been an exciting adventure, like being able to do ministry together for a long time. So tell everybody a little bit, in case they don't know who you are, about you guys.
Go first.
Okay. Lauren Bird. I started at Calvary Chapel Fullerton in 2004. So the college ministry was actually the first ministry.
Your mic's not on. Oh.
Ah, we have to, technical difficulties, we'll fix that, sorry.
That's okay.
There we go.
I didn't set you up very well.
So
nobody told me I had to turn the mic on.
We were beginning with when you got plugged into the church, a little bit about when and how you got started at Calvary Fullerton. You said that was 2004.
Yeah, so that makes me feel really old. But yeah, I've been here.
Blink.
Yeah. But yeah, when college ministry, when you and Kim were leading it, that was my first ministry that I got plugged into. And yeah, just a total blessing. It's awesome that it's kind of come full circle in terms of that, you guys being back. And yeah, so, and then, yeah, we started Connect groups, like you said, just, and Greg and I have been leading one on Wednesday nights since the beginning.
Yeah. So So, yes, I'm Greg Bird, if you don't know me. I started the church about 2002, and I do remember those tables I was kind of joking about. We were, I think I was your first college group member.
I was going to say. It's like, okay, it's me and Greg tonight, guys.
Kim was in the back with Karis, taking care of Karis. So I can relate to that. And then, you know, you and me. And then, yeah, so we did meet in college, in the college group. And that was our first ministry that we, when you moved to to Hungary, that's when we are, it's about the same time you moved to Hungary, we took over that.
Yeah.
And so we've been moving around different ministries and doing things at the church for quite a while now. Sound ministry, what Brandon is doing right now, was my first ministry. I'm glad to have Brandon there. He's always better than I was. I did a lot of different things. And so Connect Groups, when we started launching and thinking about launching them, we got involved with you in those early like practice groups, which were, what about, little did we know, in November and December of 2019, things were going to be much different in 2020.
Yeah, we had this vision. We're like, man, we're going to launch. We're so excited. This is going to be awesome.
Remember the banners and the tables we were going to set up?
We were going to get everybody to be able to like jump in, sign up. We had this great plan, and God had a whole nother. I mean, he knew this was going to be a critical part of helping us all get through, you know, isolation. And like we all started learning Zoom.
Oh,
and
yeah, like, Zoom learning.
How can we connect together and yet still be so far apart? And we experienced something. God, I think, used this. I think he forged something really exciting for our church, that one of the things that I think helped get us all through this really crazy, scary time was this fellowship. We needed to outlet. Yeah. We needed to not just, I mean, I love that God was speaking so prophetically, so powerfully, messages, man, I'm podcasting, I'm listening, but I found it I needed to outlet. I needed that place where I'm talking, I'm hearing other people going, you're going crazy like me, like, you know, and it's hard for you at work. And it seemed like the Connect Groups really hit, you know, something in particular for the church, that it was like, wow, we need this right now.
Yeah. Right. Now, one of the things you talked about was a testimony or example of how God has been using it. One of the things that came out of our group, it was a couple that had been coming to church, I think, for a couple of years. And they felt kind of, you know, so 2020, 2019 or something like that. And they had felt kind of like alone at the church. Right. They were coming to a church, but they weren't really feeling, for lack of a better word, connected.
Yeah.
we chose a good word. And then they joined, they heard about the Connect Groups, and they joined, and it ended up being in ours. And about, I don't know, maybe end of the first session, they're like, wow, we feel like we're part of Fullerton now. Mm. We feel like we're part of this church. We feel like I can go to, when I'm able to finally go back to church, I'll know people who are there.
And that was, we struggled with that. Like, we all kicked around, like, ideas for names. I think Greg was like, the Square Peg Alliance was one of our, I was joking because I was like, I so feel like that's, you know, that's just how we, as church members, we all feel like that square peg. Yeah. And around, it's our insecurity, it's the way we go through life. And church is a mix of very diverse people. And it's hard on a Sunday morning, because we're listening, or even a midweek. I mean, we love it. But it's hard sometimes to build those real connections. And that seemed to be the one word as we all prayed and we're talking, like, connection. Like that, like, if there's anything we want people to grasp right away, we want them to feel like this is what we're driving, is to get connected. So those people maybe feel like they're on the outside. We're like, where's the on-ramp to feeling connected to a church, getting plugged into a ministry? Mm-hmm. Connect Group was kind of our, you know, it was like our go-to. It was like, this is really what we're aiming at.
Yeah, the first level of this group, first thing that happens is to become part of. And we always know that's the worst part of the pandemic, is this isolation. You know, we may be an individualist culture, but in the end, we cannot be isolated. It's just not good. It's not good for man to be alone. It's not good to be alone among people. You know, you need that. You need the others, even if it is on Zoom right now.
Right.
And we talk about it all of our, like in our Connect group, about someday we'll be able to do this in person. How exciting it will be to be able to sit around a room together.
Yeah, yeah. So in a minute, I want to jump into some of the biblical background, because I think this is, I mean, you guys have been involved in a lot of small group ministry. You guys have helped with marriage counseling, college group, like all these different discipleship hats you've worn. And we kind of bring that to the table for a particular reason. But before we get into that, and stay tuned, because I think that's an important part of the heart of this. Practically, though, for somebody watching who's like, all right, if I... if I jump into the Connect group, like, is this a till death do me part kind of a thing? Like, what is a Connect group? How long do I have to sign up for? You know, do I lose my firstborn child? Like, because I think people have these fears, you know, of like jumping in and like, I don't, you know, can I take it for a test drive? You know,
right.
What are some things that you would want to tell Lauren, the person who's listening right now is maybe a little scared about jumping into a Connect group or small group.
Yeah.
How would this be maybe a good start for them?
Yeah, that's the beauty of the Connect groups. Usually they're 8 to 10 weeks, kind of depending on just the season and where holidays fall and things like that. So, and yeah, I mean, we've had 3 different Connect groups, I believe, and I think... and each one, you know, we've had some of the same members and we've had some different members come in. And that's the beauty of it is, you know, it's not a lifelong commitment. You know, you can jump in for, you know, a session, you know, you can go to a different group, say a different night works or whatnot. And, you know, it's always a little awkward at first, but the connection then is built over time and everybody, you know, gets an opportunity to share and to grow. And, and so it, I don't know, it becomes kind of like a little family, but if that's not the case, I mean, that may not be everybody's experience, right? You can go to one group and like, maybe it's not a good fit for whatever reason. And that's the beauty is there's these on ramps and off ramps where you can, you know, join a group. Okay, that doesn't work. All right, maybe try another group. You know, that's okay too. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the group. Maybe it's just not a good fit for whatever reason. So,
and I think one of the things that people get scared about small group ministry and that kind of stuff, you know, some people have had some maybe negative experiences, poor experiences, and it, maybe we feel like you get put on the spot. Spotlight gets turned on you and you're like, I don't want to talk or this. And especially when it comes to Bible knowledge, people like, I don't want to do Bible Jeopardy. I don't want to feel like I can't pray as loud or as long or have all the right words to say. But when we looked at kind of the design of these groups, I think there's some things that would be really helpful for the people listening tonight to hear and go, that's not what it is. Let me tell you a little bit more about why it's different. What are some things that will help them maybe feel a little more comfortable about the Connect group format, the heart of it? What's different?
Sure, absolutely. I was thinking about this just before we came on, and I had this kind of a, I don't know, epiphany in some sense. This is what we work for college. People have been to college or been to a college class. This is the first thing. Sunday morning is kind of like the lecture.
Right.
Connect groups are like the lab or the discussion group you go to after the lecture to talk about what you just talked about in lecture or what you just – or do a lab to practically do what the science class talked about in science. That's the shorthand I thought about in my head. I was just thinking about that because that's what it really is. It's not Bible knowledge. It's not right answers or wrong answers. It's about discussing – you know, we get caught up a lot in our culture about wanting to get the right information.
Right.
And Connect groups are not about necessarily really about right information. They're about the practical use of what we know into our lives. What is God doing in our life with this? How can God implement this in my life? Or how has he implemented it in my life? Or how do I wish he has implemented it into my life? Or all these different kind of making what we talked about on Sunday real for us. And so it's definitely, there's no such thing as a wrong answer in a Connect group.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I'm imagining have been helpful, and we do debriefs, you know, after like a couple of weeks and check in. But we, at the end of the message on Sunday, we all kind of start texting each other questions, right? Just things from the message, ways that we can maybe, you know, think or dig a little bit deeper, you know, from one of the key topics on a Sunday. So that way, what will happen is we put on the app some basic thought-provoking, you know, whether, you know, it's kind of like a journal, like just let me think about this a little bit. Let me chew on it. But the nice thing about the Connect groups is there's no like shocker, gotcha moment question. Like everybody walks in and they have at least a general idea. We might not get through all the questions, you know, because
almost
maybe
never.
There's something, you know, there's something that really sparks a deep conversation. But how have you seen, either for yourself or for the people in the group, how valuable is it to have those questions, even to think about them ahead of time before you come in, you know, or even maybe do them on your own, like just kind of dig deeper, like as a resource, a biblical resource?
Yeah, it is nice to have them in advance. Admittedly, sometimes I don't even always look at them in advance. I would love to, and sometimes I'm like, oh, I should have, you know?
Holding a child, hold on, let me,
Right, or just the full-time job, whatever. You know, it can be tough. But the beauty of it is it's so much about what God's doing in my life, what he's showing me. And the questions are often geared towards those type of things, right? So it's not the knowledge that we were talking about. You know, while there may be factual things that are presented in the message, a lot of what the questions are geared towards are personal application. And so there's really, maybe I just sometimes it's thinking about stories or things from the past or recent things that have come up this week, but it's not like really hard, deep thinking. Sometimes it's painful, admittedly, right? Sometimes we get into some difficult things, but people never have to share if they're not comfortable. Right. And that's the beauty too. It's an opportunity, but it's not a mandate. We don't pressure anybody to share.
Right. And that's one thing too with the Connect groups. We do have sharing guidelines and like boundaries around the groups that help people to not to feel safe.
Yeah.
They help, you know, there's things that the things we identified some things that have gone wrong in other groups that we have been part of and other things that we have done. And so, you know, for example, we don't make fun of anybody. We don't we don't joke about that kind of stuff. We don't even make light jokes about it. That's inappropriate, you know, and what we talk about in these groups, we're encouraged to keep it private with the group members. I'm not going to go out and say, you know, Caleb at the group tonight, you know what he said? He said this and that. Can you believe it?
Right.
Gossip is not allowed. That kind of stuff. It's really, and we take it seriously. So there is that kind of safety to share about that stuff as well.
I mean, because our goal, you know, as we'll get into this in a minute with discipleship, but it's transformation. It's that process. We're all a work in progress, you know, but being able to talk about spiritual things, being able to talk about real questions, prayer requests, things that we're thinking about honestly with a group of other believers, well, it starts to bond us together. It helps us go a little bit deeper. And that's why, you know, like we can all do the Bible answer man, you know, right? Like we can try to memorize the information. That's valuable. Yeah. But there's another step of, I think, our discipleship when we start to process it for ourselves and we're talking about how we're like, how's it going? Like, this is hard. This is a struggle. Or, wow, I'm seeing victory in this particular area. And that's, it's different. We're not doing a recovery group. I don't want the people who are hearing this. And we have an amazing recovery ministry. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole plethora of recovery resources. There's some similarities that we do see breakthroughs in transparency, trust, real relationships. But this is a little bit different. It's not quite a Bible study. Like, hey, you guys are all going to sit there and listen while we rehash Sunday's message. And it's not a pour out your heart for a half hour and listen to one person talk. Right. You know, there really is this important middle ground, like you said, that we're aiming for, both with guidelines and vision and questions that try to make these a little bit different.
Yeah, it's very different in that sense. There is, like you said, there is crossover. There's also nobody's to talk for a half hour, by the way. We have timers if you have need
That's
of
right.
them. People are, we encourage everyone to talk about stuff. And it's not about necessarily always deep stuff. We have some fun conversation, some fun questions as well. So there's a little bit of fun.
There's always at least one icebreaker.
Yeah, one kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like get to know you kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in that way, it's, I'm hoping after the first couple of weeks, and you guys can attest it, it's like, it's not like getting together and doing homework as much as I'm getting together with friends, people that I'm getting to know, that we enjoy having a conversation together. And it's not 2 hours. You've got to get back to the little one each week. Like, I mean, in terms of time, what kind of commitment are people really like? People heard like homework and then thinking small group. Like, what's the actual commitment? If someone's on the fence right now tonight and thinking, well, okay, what is it really? You know, what's the time impact? What does that look like for someone?
Yeah. I mean, like I mentioned, a lot of times I don't go through the questions beforehand. If I do, maybe 20 minutes or so to look at them. And again, it's not necessary, but sometimes like I'm like this deep thinker, like I'm like, oh, I want to have a story to tell. I know there's a story somewhere in the back of my brain somewhere, you know, that would fit this question. But you know what? I figure like God's got it figured out. If I remember it, that's great. But yeah, it's the, and then, I mean, obviously on Zoom, that makes it so much easier. You don't even have to leave your house at this point. So yeah, I mean, we log on, we're there, we end, and we're, you know, we're still at home. So it's, it's minimal in that respect. Our connect group is an hour.
Hour and a half. 7 to 8:30.
Okay. Yeah.
We're 7 to 8:30.
A little bit, so I'm forgetting. But yeah, I mean, it's a very little time commitment, but it's so full and so rich that, you know, it's awesome.
And not to sound kind of corny here, but it is, I mean, it is like an hour and a half, but that 90 minutes has had a pretty big impact for some people in our church in terms of like that 90 minutes once a week. I'm seeing people gather together after a Sunday. I'm seeing people follow up on off times, like the on-ramp to starting to build real connection, real relationship. That 90 minutes is pretty significant for hearing some stories, feeling like you're getting to know some people. Like, it's 90 minutes well spent.
Yeah. You had a story you were going to talk about, like, from our Connect group. Never mind. Okay, I won't go there.
We'll come back.
The other thing I was thinking about, like, as I was at service at EV Free, you could see, I know who the Connect groups mostly are.
Right.
And you could kind of see them, kind of people that were talking together had been in Connect groups together or had been part of these groups together. And they kind of congregated around each other. There was definitely that sense of connection and community.
Because you're sharing real stories. Everybody's talking. I mean, to the extent that they're comfortable, but you're hearing things that are happening in people's lives. Answered prayer. Like, I remember hearing this every time. It would be like, we were praying for this as a group, and this happened. Yeah. And the group feeling this strengthening of faith, ministry project. Like, we try to tackle one ministry moment. And I remember, like, the first time the Connect groups tackled the dropping off food. And I mean, the outpouring of like people shopping and then dropping off food. Like, the principal was like, I don't know who you guys all are, but all these excited people dropping off food. Like, I mean, that was something that was really cool that the Connect groups really, like, it was a ministry moment, a shared experience.
Yeah, I know. Our group, one of our other ones we did, we got one of our members of our group worked at a hospital, and they needed clothes for homeless people. When they come into the hospital, their closures get cut open or torn off, and they need replacement clothes when they leave because they don't have anything. And so a lot of times they need coats more than anything else. A coat gets torn off. It's a big deal to a homeless person. And so he talked to his mister. And so we collected all these, we had these picture of all these bags of clothes and coats out at their house that he took to the hospital. And the hospital was sent a letter, and they were so grateful for it. And it was just such a, it was another really kind of bonding, kind of fun moment in that, able to do something for somebody who was in need. And there's something more practical about that. Like, no, pray for you is great. Yeah, pray for you. But I'm going to actually do something. I'm going to put hands and feet to it. And that was really cool.
Mm-hmm. And that builds relationship because you're kind of bonded from a shared experience. Like, we did this together.
Yes.
And I think that's where, like, it's not a cliche when we talk about these are designed to build relationships, but that's why the format of asking questions, doing prayer requests, having something that you tackle together, like when the 8 weeks is done, you will know these people in your group a lot better than when you started.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears from them because I think all of this is really cool, but one of the things that makes us different than, say, a club, you know, like, because there's lots of places. I mean, my kid's school, there's PTA and this group and that group. Part of what really goes at the heart of this, we just got done talking about this with The Chosen. Like, the thing that I think makes The Chosen so exciting is this idea of Jesus inviting people, like, into ministry with him, into relationship with him. And you guys shared it just briefly. Like, I mean, that's why you're sitting here today. Someone, you know, began to give you that opportunity to say, hey, let's go deeper with Jesus. This idea of discipleship, I mean, this comes right from God's word. Go and make disciples. Churches use that phrase a lot. We've got a lot of different discipleship things that we do. We're not saying this is the only thing, but we're making this a significant part of our church because we believe that this goes right to the heart of this kind of Jesus-style ministry that we're talking about with making disciples. So can you share with me a little bit about how you see this kind of fitting into that heart of like, this is part of what the church should be doing, making disciples. But when Jesus said make disciples, he said go and make disciples not of Caleb or of this, but like we're making disciples of Jesus. He said teaching them all of the things that I have commanded you. Mm-hmm. And hey, I'll be with you. Like we're trying to make disciples of Jesus. And there's something about these groups that help us do that. You want to talk a little bit about how you see that kind of connecting with this mandate?
Sure. Do you want to start first? And I have something to say too, but go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like Greg was alluding to earlier with just the, you know, we hear the message, but the opportunity to go deeper. And I mean, for me, you know, I can come on Sunday and I can hear it. I'm like, yes, okay, I want to do something about this, right? Whatever the message may be. But then we come to Connect Groups and it's like, okay, now there's these pointed questions about, you know, just the things that we were talking about. And so it's this idea of, you know, growing in my faith, you know, growing in our faith together, you know, seeing an opportunity to, I don't know, just to follow God's plan, and hearing how others are doing it and being encouraged by that. And, yeah, so I guess for me, that's kind of what I think when you were talking about that.
Yeah. It's interesting you brought this up because I've been listening to some stuff about, Talmud. Talmids are disciples. That's the Jewish idea of a disciple. And it's in the scripture too. A disciple is like his master. Mm. If you want to know in the Jewish ideas, I might be learning about, if you want to know if a rabbi has passed on, and you want to know what that rabbi was like, you look at his Talmid, his disciples. And his disciples should be just like their master. They should be just in the feeling, they talk about covered in the dust of his feet. And this idea of, if you wanted to talk about discipleship, our goal is to be like Jesus, not to know about Jesus. That, you know, like it says, like the demons know, and that doesn't mean anything for them. It doesn't change the knowledge that it's this becoming like. And I think that's one of the cool things about the Connect groups is the questions, while they're kind of awkward and kind of personal.
Right.
And they're like, you know, what was this like in your life? Or how have you done this? Or where have you applied this? Or, you know, where did you not apply this? You know? And that can be kind of like, I'm a little uncomfortable with that. It's a little personal, you know. This is about being personal. It's about, you know, our relationship with Jesus is very personal. And the disciples, like in The Chosen, they're living together. They're around each other. It's a personal interaction. And this is that beginning of that. This is the start of, okay, I need to find somewhere to come out of my shell and not just be a Lone Ranger Christian, and to come be part of a group and talk about what's going on. And if I want to be like my master, if I want to be like him, I need to come and get beyond just knowing about him, which is a Sunday morning. It's important. We need to know about him. You know, read the Gospels, know about him. But if I'm not putting what I know about him into action by the way I walk, in the way I, you know, like, you know, it's a walk. It's not a test. Right. I don't pass a test to get into heaven. That's a very different thing.
And that's always going back to our key word in this ethos. I mean, discipleship has been such a critical core part of our church. But this idea, like you were saying, of being disciples of Jesus, like as we hang out with Rich and have learned to read our Bibles together and pray together, that ultimately part of, you know, Rich's gifting of seeing things in us that we didn't see in ourselves, but encouraging us to say, hey, the reason I want you to read your Bible every day is I want you to become more like Jesus. And this is why, I mean, number one, you guys aren't the only facilitators, but you know, we use that word specifically. We don't say Bible study leaders, because part of our goal really is to help them develop a relationship with Jesus. You are facilitating, if you will, them, you know, the people in our group, discussing, talking. I mean, if I think of a core verse, Bible talks about not being hearers of the word, right? Mm-hmm. But being doers. And this idea of like, how do we move from information to application? And we need to hear other people's questions and hear how somebody else did it. Like, okay, that makes more sense, you know? And we're hearing as we're all talking about it, but the star of the evening is always Jesus. You're just asking a question. Hey, next time, next person. They're not like, okay, I want to be in Greg and Lauren's group because I want to be Greg and Lauren's disciple, right, or Olivia's disciple or Susan's disciple or Becky's. Or like, we have these amazing facilitators, but really we're facilitating every week, helping people get closer to Jesus. Would you say that's
so
kind of a...
facilitator is the big thing. I think half my job as our job as a facilitator is being quiet, learning how to ask a question and let the silence just be. Because people need to be able to have a space to talk. I am not there to be a teacher. That was the hardest thing. And one of the reasons I think, you know, I've been more involved in training, this kind of stuff, is because of the practice we had in other groups of doing similar things. So, and that's probably why we're up here, because we've had that practice. And so going into this, it wasn't new to us. To a lot of facilitators, it is kind of new, because this is not what we've done on weekdays. We asked to be a Bible study leader, to come and teach a whole nother message,
right,
and to come and teach a whole thing. But facilitators in these groups, they don't necessarily have the answers. They don't even know what the, there's not really right answers. So how can you even have an answer? Right. It's, you have your own answers of how you did it in your life.
Yeah.
And that's all we can do, is share that with people and facilitate others to talk about it and to be able to question or wonder for themselves.
For the person who's used to, like, okay, if I'm going to jump in on a midweek, you know, like, that means I'm going to go to a Bible study. And look, you're talking to a Bible teacher, a guy who ran a Bible college. Like, I am probably most comfortable. I still teach 1 to 2 Bible college classes a week. So, like, I love opening up God's Word, digging into it, teaching it. But for me, I really felt like this was going to be an important part of the ethos of our church, in terms of, like, we talked about a tree having one trunk and a lot of branches. The trunk being Jesus, and the critical part of, like, hey, as Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Like, we want to see our ministry grow where people begin to find a place in the church, where they're not just sitting on the sidelines, listening, observing, because I think Bible studies are great. And we've got a bunch of them throughout the week that people can plug into. But part of what makes this different is this idea of, like you said, you're going to be asked questions. You're going to have time to verbalize, think through some answers, and begin to learn to be kind of transparent, if you will, in terms of just saying, this is how I feel. Yeah. This is what I think about this. This is what I don't understand. In your guys' personal experience, in your growth arc as a Christian, how valuable has that been for you as a disciple to go from just being a student of the Word, which is great, you guys are listening, to being in all of these different settings where you've now been, like, communicating, talking, now obviously leading, but why has that part been an important part in your guys' spiritual growth, personal growth, this sharing stuff?
I think for me, I mean, I just got in on that right away. I mean, we did that with your Bible study when Greg was leading it. We did that then, you know, it was just this, like, sense of, this is, I guess that's how I kind of learned it. This is how I grow. You know, this is, we talk about the Word of God, we share with others, we hear other perspectives, and all of that draws us closer. The heart of it is to draw us closer to Jesus. And so to me, I mean, that's kind of all I've ever known in terms of that. But I think it does it. I mean, then it translates to, you know, then that becomes, like, our heart, right? You know, and then it's like, okay, well, I want to, you know, how can I do this for other people? Is there a place for me in the church to do this for others? You know, lead this group or that type of thing, you know, stepping into different ministries, because we've now gone through these, like, this pruning process, this just, like, digging up things, you know, it's, I don't know, it just all feels so essential, you know, to just being able to, I don't know, to be able to serve God in just a wholehearted way.
Yeah.
And I know in my testimony, the way my life went, and I won't go into too much of it, but just the idea that I knew a lot about God growing up. I had all of these kind of right answers. I had a lot of verses in my head, in my memory. I had a lot of scripture in my memory. And yet my life was so far off. It was so, so far off. And when I came back, I came to this church in 2002, 2003. When I really became a disciple was 2004. And that's when it really clicked for me. And in that moment, there were some things that happened that I'm going to do whatever I need to do and go wherever I need to go. And part of that, what really helped me grow, was some people one-on-one with me or in small areas saying, hey, this is how I'm doing this. Right. This is what's actually, you know, I surrender all, God. What does that mean? What does surrender even look like? I can say all these really good churchy words, but if I don't know what they mean practically in my life, they're just a bunch of words. So yeah. That's been a very important, essential part of my transformation in my life.
Mm. One of the things that I think really hit me with this particular example, when we dove into this format, and I think I was coming off of, I don't know which gospel I was teaching or working through, but Jesus asked a lot of really good questions, or people asked him questions, and he wasn't afraid of the answers in terms of like, you know, Thomas, that was a dumb question. You know, like he seemed to enjoy the fact that they were thinking, and it gave him an opportunity to go deeper. And sometimes he'd reflect it back, you know, or he would kind of draw out the lesson. And I think that sometimes we've gotten away from a little bit of that, you know, discipleship model where we just get afraid, like, of talking and asking questions. Someone's going to think I'm like not smart enough or this. But there's something really valuable about making our faith our own, you know, when we are thinking about it out loud, and maybe even hearing God speak through somebody else in the group, and I'm like, wow, you just said something that like radically impacted my life, and you're not the pastor. You know, like realizing God speaks through us, you know, sometimes together in that group format. But just seeing Jesus ask and answer questions, seeing how, you know, the disciples like stumble across like this amazing, I mean, this is kind of a Jesus style ministry. I mean, that's been something you've been studying, talking about for a little bit.
You're right there. I can go down a lot of rabbit holes with what you just said, but I will keep it simple to this, that I heard somebody once say that he was the best question asker and that ever lived. And it's this way. It's always better to ask somebody a question than to tell them an answer. Because if you ask the right question, then their brain has to think about it. And it's very non-threatening. It's just a question.
Right.
And if the answer is challenging to that question, then that's all the better. I think when I did take over from the college group from you when you moved on to Hungary, that's one of the things I really had to endeavor to learn. And I spent a lot of years trying to learn how to run a group without teaching a message, but asking questions and letting the message teach itself from the questions. And that's a hard thing. That's probably why I have the skills that I have now to help out with this, with the questions on Sunday. It's because of number of years. Because I really believe that questions are much more valuable than me talking to you.
And it's important. You need both. We've got the Bible study on Sunday. You've got sometimes you do a midweek Bible study. But now this idea of sitting together with a group of people, personally there's value because you're going deeper, but collectively there's something special about being in a group of other believers and beginning to feel like I'm getting to know them. I'm building real relationships, real friendships, and we've seen things have happened in people's family. People have had needs, and it's like, man, it's the group that comes alongside. Whether we're celebrating weddings or babies or, you know, or crisis, there's something about knowing that you are not alone in this church. You are building connections. Thus, kind of our key phrase, following Jesus together.
It reminds me of a story where you were thinking about with one of the ladies in our group who was older. Couldn't you want to tell the story about that?
We had an opportunity. She was really struggling. She was trying to get a vaccine for her husband, right? You know, and she just didn't know how to work it. She was, you know, feeling like, I want to go back to church. I want to do these things, but we can't do it until this. And he really wants it, but he's, you know, all this. Anyway, and so we're like, hey, we can help with that, you know, kind of thing. So we, you know, got on our phones and we're trying to figure it out, you know, just at the end of group, you know, and we just were able to help her facilitate that, you know, to get her to a place where she, you know, where they could do this. And it was so cool. It was so like minor, but it made such a big impact. And I mean, everybody kind of just benefited from just, seeing kind of us all kind of working together, because we were all kind of trying to work through it. Like, hey, I think I heard this, you know. Just little things like that make a huge impact. It's just really
and
cool.
That guy that got her back to, you know, when she got all finished, she got back to in-person services, and she was excited about that.
Yeah.
Well, we talk about that and saying we're not a building, we're a body.
Right.
But when we're alive, the Bible says when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. And that's a practical way of just saying we are experiencing what this person is going through. And together, we said, well, how can we help? What can we do? Any other, you know, for people listening tonight, any other examples, testimonies, even from, I'm trying to think of our debrief conversation with other groups.
Me too.
But anything that would maybe kind of give a highlight for someone who was like, maybe they weren't super excited about initially doing a connect group and we saw them really start to find a place, a connection, start to see this process of connect groups become
valuable.
Well,
I can say this. I do. The one thing that keeps coming to my mind, there is one connect group that doesn't take breaks. There's one connect.
They're really connected.
They're really connected. And they're like, awesome. We don't need a break. Yeah. And so this group just tends to continue to meet through the breaks because they just like being around each other.
Yeah.
They just need it. And they feel like they want it so much that they all just agreed, hey, we'll do our own connect group till the main one starts up. Yeah. And then we'll rejoin. And then we'll come back. And we don't need a break. So I do know that that's going on. That's kind of cool. They really like like each other that much.
Yeah. And cool. One of the books we all read together when we were creating this format, Sticky Church, and that idea of like that stickiness of like what helps people feel like they get stuck, kind of connected to a church, but it really is relationships. It's feeling like I have a place that I belong. I have a place where I'm known, where I'm loved, where I love other people, where I can begin to discover my gifts, you know, maybe be encouraged about stepping out in ministry or do ministry, that's kind of collectively what we're hoping to accomplish, you know, in these groups. We want people to feel like they're known, that they're loved, that they have a spot.
Yeah. Yeah, there is that. And there's this saying about even our group, there are a couple people that got together. You know, the church does these groceries now once a month for people. And for most of the pandemic, they got together and the two of them organized getting groceries to a person together. One was willing to shop, one was willing to deliver. So they just kind of worked back and forth like that. And so that kind of stuff happens in all the connect groups and those kind of things, those opportunities to find that kind of connection with each other, to serve and to do and to, and it feels really good. All these things feel, there's a positive kind of taking back all this negativity, all this kind of evil around.
So for the people watching tonight, maybe, you know, there's a broad spectrum. Calvary Chapel Fullerton, we're diverse, we're unique. When we think about some of the people that really find connect groups a good fit, what are some of the people that we're thinking, you know, well, because there's always the insecurities, right? My life's too messy. I can't be in a connect group. I don't know enough Bible knowledge, or I don't have enough time. Like, to some of those people that might be watching, having some of these different things that we know are the kind of barriers that keep people from plugging in, what would you say to some of those kind of mindsets and people? Because you've heard it as we finish the groups and say, well, I started this way, or I was thinking this. You know, what are some things that you might say to those people that might be on the fence or just thinking, oh, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe I'm too quiet or too insecure, too messy, you know?
Yeah. I think this is just a really good place to just kind of just come on in. Honestly, you know, I mean, it to me, it's kind of like it's like an entry level kind of position into just learning about like what is the church, right? What am I doing here? How am I connected? You know, it's kind of just, I forget, all of a sudden I blanked on the original question, but what was it again?
Well, that's helpful because some of the people might be thinking I'm too new, or maybe even like, you know, they're still a seeker. And I think one of the things we tried to do with our connect groups is that even if somebody were not quite ready to cross that threshold yet, that a connect group is a safe place for them to listen, ask questions, hear other believers talking about it. Right. So even if you're brand new or still kind of like on the seeker side, because we've heard that testimony before, that maybe one family member who was plugged in and invited another family member was like, well, I'll come because I'll come with you, but just had some misgivings about, you know, groups and churches, and found this to be the place where a relationship with Jesus could begin.
Right. I think one of the things that this is for people who feel like they're alone and would like to get to know other Christians that go to their church. And they want to feel like they belong as part of Calvary Fullerton, or to get, do I find out if they want to belong? What's interesting, I think of the story you talked about, there's one of them I know of a person, a wife who came, and the husband was kind of like, I don't want to go. But he was like listening off, and because it was at Zoom, it was one of the benefits of the Zoom part of it, because the wife was not away somewhere else. She was in another room, and he could hear what was going on. And week by week, the story was kind of like, he kind of got closer and closer to joining until about halfway through, he actually went on the screen and joined in the group with her. And kind of just kind of, you know, well, maybe I will go into that. And that's the thing. We don't pressure anybody to share anything they don't feel comfortable sharing. There is no pressure to share. There's an opportunity. We give opportunities. And there's no like, you're part of this group now, you must tell us about your whole life. This doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That's just not the way it is. It's, hey, here's a place that you can feel safe. And until you feel safe, you go as deep as you want to go. Some of us here are going to go a little deeper. Just be aware of that. Mm-hmm. And that's okay too. And so it's okay whichever place you are. But if you feel alone or you feel like you need more community around you, this is a place to find community.
Yeah.
I was thinking that too, that, you know, like sometimes it's the whole thing of like, if you really knew, right, who kind of, I don't know, I feel like people have told Jesus that if you really knew who I was, right, you know, like you wouldn't be talking to me kind of thing. And, you know, that's the reality. Like I'm not up here because I've figured a whole lot of stuff out, you know, I mean, made a lot of mistakes to, you know, to get to better places in my walk. But, so in that sense, like, It's so cool to be messy. Like, that's just so a part of just our groups, you know, and a lot of times, like, you know, we will start and just kind of lead with weakness, especially on difficult questions. You know, it's like, hey, you know what? Let me start and just share how I mess this up. Yeah. Because, you know, and people can share if they feel comfortable, right. But if not, that's okay too. Because the reality is like, at least in our group, you got some of the biggest, you know, mess ups, you know, but we're thankful, you know, that Jesus still wants us and uses us. And so.
Yeah.
That's such a critical part to real growth in all of our lives. Like, we've all, you know, gotten to that point where we try to learn to put off the performance, the mask that we think we have to wear. And I get it. That's just part of our sin nature. We all want to be accepted. We all want to be loved. But the more I come to terms with who Jesus is, the cross, and begin to see the church, you know, as a place that I can grow, and I grow better together, because God works through you and our conversation, and that's the way he seemed to do discipleship with the disciples, you know, together, and they challenged each other, they went deeper, yep. And that little bit of risk of saying, okay, I'm going to start to open up, I'm going to share, and I can do that. There's something that the Holy Spirit begins to do, you know, because he says he's given these gifts for the edifying, building up of the body of Christ, and we see that work of God's Spirit in us when we gather together. We talk about these things. Let me just kind of move one next step, and if there's something else you want to add, go for it. But without walking into your guys' own whole story, because we don't have time to do that.
We don't have time.
But one of the things that you guys have added some really helpful insight, because these types of discipleship ministry, like, hey, in our life, going deeper with Jesus, we've had to utilize groups, transparency, like, let's move past, let's dig past the hard ground, that this type of ministry has been transformative. And we use words like spiritual transformation, all those big ones, but this kind of concept, you know, for a Christian to go deeper has been really very, very important for both of you guys. What might you say to that Christian who's thinking, well, connect groups just sound like level one, Bible studies really where, and again, we're not trying to compare, and I'm just saying, but there really is something about getting past that first layer and starting to get into this place of transparency, sharing that. I mean, I know it's been powerful for you guys. What would you say to that person?
Yeah. I think it's critical. It's life-giving and it's life-saving to just be able to, I don't know. I mean, I think sometimes in practical means, like, I know in my head that, like, you know, Jesus knows everything I've ever done and he's covered it all with his blood. And I am so happy about that. But then I can still carry this shame and this weight of things that I've done, because maybe you don't know everything I've done. You know, you don't know everything I've done. And there just comes, like, sometimes just this beauty of being able to say, you know what, like, maybe I don't share all the details, but these are some of the things that I've done and I've walked through and I've like walked away from, you know, the blood of Jesus on, but I'm here and I'm talking about it because I know that he's covered it, right? You know, and I'm not going to try to live in this shame that the enemy wants me to, you know, or just this guilt or all of this condemnation, right? You know, being able to share it in a group of believers. And, you know, and I understand sometimes it's not comfortable. Sometimes people are like, whoa, that's a little much, maybe, you know, and I think we try to not be overbearing in that respect, but just to be able to be honest and say, you know what, like we're flawed. We don't have this all figured out. We're sinners, you know? Yeah. And so I think that's been really important for me personally.
Mm. I think two things. One thing I want to go back to a little bit. She talked about leading with weakness and those things, those tough questions. One of the things about a facilitator in a group like this is the goal is when it's hard, you go in first. When the questions are difficult, you need to be the one that answers first and says, hey, I may look like the leader, but I make mistakes too. Because I used to believe all the time, you all don't make mistakes. I'm the only one that makes mistakes. You all do it because I judge my insides by your outsides. Mm. And everybody's outsides look really great because we're good at doing that mask thing. But I judge my insides by that mask. And that just is devastating to anyone. And one thing about going deep like this is we realize that we are not alone. I'm not the only one that makes mistakes. Wow, the leader makes mistakes? I don't know. We're a small facilitator, right? You know, the facilitators is right. They're one person facilitating a group for like seven others, right, or eight others. And somehow, because they're facilitating, they're not put on a pedestal. It's like it's just a pedestal, just obviously. Well, they're facilitating. They must be something more spiritual than me. And honestly, we're probably not. And that's the reality. When we can come to terms with that, that we're all, I guess, what is Rich's old pastor used to say, bozos on the same bus, right? We're all just doing that. We're kind of doing this life thing and trying to figure it out with Jesus together with each other. That is what causes growth. I mean, yes, know your scriptures, know what they say. I find that I've moved away from that in my walk primarily because I find it as a way to hide. I find a lot of time knowledge as a way to, it's much more fun to debate theology with you than to talk about how I'm living my theology. Right. I can be up here and I can just have fun with that. But what I find is when I walk away from a conversation like that, where I could have led with weakness, that I feel like I missed something.
Yeah. Yeah, the book of Hebrews, the author says, and moving on to maturity. And again, we're not talking about maturity as in like, hey, we're going to get a degree, but as in growth, that's our hope. That's our desire. And so we see this as probably we've kind of targeted this as one of the areas in our church that we could see our groups double, triple, quadruple. We're not worried about like the size so much, but just because we feel like this is what people are hungry for, is connection, beginning to live out their faith, beginning to live it out with other people, build real relationships. And so even within the groups, after you've gone through it once or so, twice, maybe you're like, hey, this has been impactful. I think I could facilitate a group. Like, mm-hmm. There's actually a path for people to do that, right? Like,
right.
They don't have to go get a degree in Bible college. Nope. Like, this is actually a way someone could move into front lines, life-changing, life-giving ministry is just getting connected with the Connect group.
Yep.
Yeah. Right?
So, yeah, the facilitators, the only kind of requirement really is that you've been through at least one session of the group and that you like it. That you're gonna like it.
We want people that are excited about this.
Right.
Yes.
And the other thing I would say is I think more and more about this, that you're willing to share your story.
Right.
You're willing to share yourself. If you're willing to go, this is how God's working in my life, and this is how I'm partnering with him, and this is probably where I'm choosing not to partner with him so well. If you're willing to share that, then and you're ready to be a facilitator. You don't have to have all the answers. In fact, you probably shouldn't, and I know I don't either. We have plenty of people backing us all up. So, if you're a facilitator and somebody asks you some crazy question, you're like, you know what? I don't know the answer right now, but I'll find out.
Yeah.
Or if maybe something really big happens, hey, I'm thinking about suicide. Things like that can come up. Then you can go, hey, I care about you. Let me get somebody to help around you. And you go and get help. You're not the EMT. You're not the doctor. Mm. You're the person who calls 911 and says, come. And that's all a facilitator really is.
Good example. Good. And, you know, we want to really just encourage you guys. I mean, we started these a couple of sessions ago. We tend to do a fall and a spring. And so our next session is going to be starting here at the end of September. We're going to run 8 weeks. Greg and Lauren has a group. That's typically the way right now how we've divided the groups is what night works for you. And then that's how we'll send out the form is, hey, what night? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
No Monday.
You know? Yeah, we don't typically do a Monday night.
Because we can't
get the questions out fast enough.
That's right.
But we'll ask you what night works. And then based on our facilitators, we will kind of move them into a group, do a week one where people can get interested. And if need be, they can shuffle. And then we'll run 8 weeks, stop for the holidays, and then reset for the spring. But I mean, this has really been a powerful ministry, I think, for all of us. We've seen answered prayer, seen people get a chance to raise up and be involved in ministry, and we're watching this new harvest. You know, even in this next group, we've got new people stepping in as facilitators, new opportunities. We're hoping a whole new even group of new people stepping in to connect groups. Any last thought or word about an invitation for the person who's listening tonight who hasn't done it yet, who's thinking, should I?
You go first and I'll say something.
Just do it. No.
Yeah. You know, go with the Nike phrase.
Yeah. I know. Just jump in, you know. God meets us wherever we're at, you know. So I know for me in my life, anytime I've ever felt that like prompting, it's usually not, I figure it's not Satan, right? You know, Satan's not trying to get me to, you know, go to God. It's not necessarily my flesh. It's probably the Spirit of God, you know, trying to draw me towards Him. So if you feel that, you know, little inkling, just come on out, give it a try.
For Caleb, I'll use a basketball quote. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Hey, there we go.
That's right up your alley, right?
It is.
Figured I'd pander to you a little bit. But yeah, that's just it. Like, there is, it's not that Satan wants you to come to this. He doesn't want you to be here. He wants to keep you away. You're going to find reasons. There's a million reasons to not come.
Right.
There's a million reasons to not come. And it's going to be scary, and you're going to be uncomfortable, and that's life. Like, the good things that we do are always a little difficult. It's part of growing up, right? You know, kids do what feels good. Adults kind of make a plan and follow it. And this is kind of that thing to grow up a little bit. We're going to grow up in our faith, and we're going to, you know, face a little fear, and we're going to march through it. And we're going to try to do it in a safe place. And so we're going to keep you safe.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys both for your investment from the beginning, helping us create this and be a part of it and water it. We love that we're seeing so much fruit. And guys, as your pastor, another Jesus follower, let me just again invite you. I'm not even challenging you. I don't want you to feel guilty if you can't do it. It's the antithesis of what we're doing. It's an invitation to go deeper. What you heard tonight, they're living it out, experiencing it. The people that come, I guarantee you will experience God growing them in new ways. Maybe this season doesn't work. Be looking for the spring. But like I said, there's a lot of excuses that'll just keep you where you're at. Maybe like Jesus getting into Peter's boat and saying, hey, I want you to push out. I want you to launch out into the deep. We're going to cast our net out here. Maybe this is going to be the next thing you need to help you go a little bit deeper with Jesus in this next season in your life. So be looking. We're going to be sending out the texts, the emails, the sign-up forms are going to be coming out here in the next couple of days, and then they'll come out over and over again. But please pray about it. Consider jumping in with us. I'm really excited to see how God wants to use this in your life and then maybe use you in somebody else's life in these connect groups. Greg, you want to pray for our connect groups in this next season and for those that are watching?
Yeah, sure. Bless you, Lord. Bless you for this. Bless you, King of the Universe, for these wonderful groups that you've given us to be together, to become a body together. And Lord, help us to be your body, to be your hands and feet, to show the world what it is that your disciples look like, and help us to become your disciples. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this time we've had together tonight, and we give it all back to you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm.
Amen.
All right. Lord bless you guys. We will see you on Sunday, whether you're online at 9 o'clock or join us at 11 as we're back at the Fullerton Marriott. And then, like I said, be looking for the next Connect Group sign-up. We'll be getting that out maybe as early as tomorrow. All right. Good night, guys. Night. God bless.